Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman.
That's right, folks. The man's not lying. We are back. It is the iPhone photography podcast called The Tiny Shutter. I am Keith Tharp.
I am Mark Sadowski.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
And we are back. Thanks, guys, for doing an awesome job and picking up the slack for me while I was away at the Justin Bieber concert.
Don't ever leave us again. Dude, I've been editing podcasts for God knows how long now. And when I looked at your stuff, it's like looking at somebody else's code. I just couldn't decipher it. I'm like, what do I do?
All right. All right, folks, let's move into today's news. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Awesome. Today we're going to start off with whiny baby news. I am, of course, referring to the PGA golfers that we've mentioned a few times already. And I promise...
They're back again.
I promise, with my fingers crossed, that this will be the last time that I talk about them. The Hartford Courant is reporting that the PGA announced spectators can carry mobile phones to the TPC River Highlands course during the Travelers Championship, provided the volume setting is on silent. The official policy states... Phone calls can be made or received in designated areas throughout the golf course. Fans can send and receive messages, check data, utilize the PGA Tour app, and on the golf course away from play. Photography with mobile devices or cameras is allowed Monday through Wednesday only. No video recording is permitted at any time. And here's my favorite part. Fans using mobile devices improperly will get a friendly reminder about the policy. Repeat violators who can potentially disrupt the competition may receive a claim check in exchange for their mobile device, and then they can get their phone back or whatever after the day of play. So,
wow, it sounds like the UN threatening a country.
It actually reminds me of being in fourth grade where the teacher takes away your Super Bowl and puts it in the drawer, and you can't get it back until the end of the school year.
It's kind of funny because on the one hand they're trying to be harsh, but on the other hand these are people who are paying good money to be part, you know, join blah, 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 to watch these things,
and, right, and it's clear that, you know, I mean, bottom line is the fans are what make your money for you, so let's kind of play both sides of it and try and appease the golfers and at the same time just ask the fans to and, you know, like we said, I mean, there's a silent setting for a reason. Let's just use it.
Yeah.
In news I promise not to talk about anymore, iPhone 5 rumors are beginning to turn into confirmations. Though for the sake of our show, we're going to continue to call them rumors. For those of you that have collected lots of things that plug into the standard 30-pin port on the bottom of your iPhone, you may want to avoid upgrading to the iPhone 5, since TechCrunch has confirmed that Apple will be going to a smaller 19-pin connector for the next iteration of the iPhone. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen pictures of this, but basically it actually looks like it's a little bit smaller than a standard USB-sized connector that they're going to go for, which I think is cool. It sucks, though, because I got a buttload of accessories that use that, the old standard connector.
I've just been collecting them from every iPhone and iPad iteration that I've had. They just pile up.
I'm sure there will be a 31 to 19-pin adapter.
Yeah, and with that being said, I really hope there is, because last October, I installed in both of my cars. I installed aftermarket accessories so that I can connect my iPhones to my car. And I had to like tear the dash apart and everything to get this taken care of.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So hopefully there are some adapters to go from the 19 to the 30 for those types of reasons. But I mean, I love my stupid little thing that sits next to my bed that I set my alarm and plug my phone into and.
Yeah, I'll be bummed if I can't use that anymore. Yeah.
Now, is the rumor confirmed that it's going to be a magnetic clip?
It doesn't look like it. No, it looks like a plug-in.
Okay.
You're talking about,
I know,
like,
that was rumored.
That would have been nice, actually, but no, that's not what it looks like to me anyway.
Gotcha.
All right. More iPhone 5 rumors. There is also now some solid info coming out in support of the new iPhone having NFC. That is near field technology. This is what's going to go into, say, Apple's rendition of the Google Wallet, which is in iOS 6, there's an app now. It's a native app similar to all the other native apps. It's called Passbook, and this is where you're going to be able to store like bank cards, store cards, boarding passes, all these kinds of things. And the idea behind near-field technology is that you will be able to basically, with your iPhone in your pocket, pay for something at a register, or possibly having to pick up the iPhone and put it closer to the receiver device, possibly, I guess. But basically, it will be moving us that much closer to a sort of moneyless society, or the lack of needing any kind of tangible cash anyway.
That's pretty cool. I can't wait for this.
It's kind of like mobile speed pass.
Yeah. It's speed pass with the idea of being able to keep everything in one place. Like, imagine having all your different bank accounts in this one app, and you can, you know, choose which one is your primary one, and, you know, it takes from your checking account, or you can say, okay, if you have to open the app and say, no, I'd rather pay from my savings account for this one. So, I mean, that's cool. It's not like people are going to stop carrying wallets, but, I mean, now that I say that, it's actually a possibility. I mean, if I don't need to carry credit cards with me, and I don't need to carry cash with me, my family pictures are already in my iPhone. I don't keep pictures in my wallet anymore. What do I need to carry the wallet for anymore?
Yeah.
Well, the driver's license, but I can imagine that being something that could be available on an iPhone too.
Right. Yeah.
They do make special cases where you can slip your card in. Actually thinking about getting that.
Put the license behind the phone.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, if you had to show your license, it could literally be something that is just displayed on your phone.
Yeah, no one's going to forge that.
I was going to say that instantly seems to have a lot of hackability to it, but.
Well, I'm a little bit. Concerns with this whole near field technology. I like the idea of it, but I wonder how secure it is.
Right, and I mean, well, and that would be the other thing is the near field technology thing. Instead of getting carded, you just put your phone near this other thing. Maybe it says, "Yeah, I'm 21" or whatever. Who knows? So anyway, let's carry on and mention the fact that also getting closer to confirmation is the 4-inch widescreen format for the next iteration. This is not as confirmed as the 19-pin connector, but it's pretty close. We talked about that before, but I just wanted to reiterate it since we're in iPhone 5 rumors. And then the last thing is the more questionable one. A report from a, quote, informant who scored some time with a prototype, speculated to be an iPhone 5 prototype, said that the camera app had a 3D option on it. I'm not buying that one.
I'm not buying that.
But the other thing that he mentioned is that when he took a picture of some flowers that were on a stand nearby, apparently the iPhone brought up a thing where it said, would you like to have a listing of stores nearby that you can buy flowers from? Which also doesn't make sense. If I just took freaking pictures of the flowers, what the hell do I need to go buy more for? But whatever.
All right. I wonder what it would say when I take pictures of mountains.
Would you like
Let's move into Please Don't F With Me news. Bloomberg Business is reporting that blah, 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 legal crap, insert important quote here. The ITC will review aspects of all four Motorola mobility patents in the case against Apple. Of the 13 questions it posed to lawyers yesterday, 8 are related to handling standard essential patents. Should it side with Motorola Mobility, the agency has the power to order U.S. Customs and Border Protection to stop iPhones and iPad computers made in Asia from entering the U.S., meaning they can ban the import of the next iteration of the iPhone before it even gets here. No! Damn it, I've been waiting so long. I don't know. I mean, I'll put the link in the show notes, but it goes into how, you know, there's people that are obviously on the side of this happening, and then there's a whole bunch of other people that are coming to the defense of Apple saying, you know, that you can't ban the import and so forth and so on. But So while this is being talked about, I don't know if you guys know, but the Galaxy S3 and Nokia 808 are both like trying to hit the hot pad for getting out. I think the Galaxy S3 has been released, right?
I think so.
But anyway, they're both kind of the contenders for being the iPhone beater. So they're actually trying to get as many units sold prior to the iPhone 5 release later in the fall. And that was the one other quote. I don't have it here in my notes, but did you guys see the link I sent out about the Foxconn CEO or executive saying that the iPhone 5 is going to kick the crap out of the Galaxy S3?
Yes.
Yes.
He says
just wait and see.
Yeah, it's just a way better product than the Galaxy S3 because the reason being is because and that's probably obviously just a set plant, but there's so many people that came out when the Galaxy S3 got launched saying that it was the iPhone killer, it's the best thing in the world, blah blah blah. All right, moving on. In our occasional recurring numbers news segment, the award-winning Snapseed is reporting that they have surpassed 9 million downloads. So that's cool. Finally, in special breaking news, a treat for the focus group and possibly anybody that hears this episode very early when it hits the feed tomorrow, head over to iTunes Store right now, or the App Store rather, right now, and search for Dramatic Black and White by Jixie Picks. It's free right now, and early listeners to the feed and the focus group can head over and get it. Pretty cool app with some unique features, and it's worth having, definitely for free. And that concludes our news segment. So let's move into our feature for the week. And our feature for the week is going to be a abbreviated tips segment, one or two-ish from each of us. All right, so I'm going to start off, and I'm going to start off with Saturday afternoon was a very busy iPhone photography day for me. I'm in the process of reviewing the Olo clip, which we're all going to have a chance at reviewing. And I think Mark's is up on the site now, isn't it, Mark?
Yes, it's on the site right now. I had a great time with that. I can't wait to hear your reviews on this.
Yeah, so I was really enjoying it, and it kind of turned me into a nut Saturday, and I was just iPhone photography aholic Saturday.
Yeah, that's for.
We ended up in Portsmouth, and if you're familiar with the area, Portsmouth in the evening lights up a church downtown called North Church, and it's a really attractive scene. We were just coming out of Starbucks, and I looked down the alley, and there's the North Church. Everything's extremely dark as far as lighting in the scene goes, except for the church is very bright. So what happened was I get this picture, I get it back into Snapseed, and my tip that I'm taking the long road to get to is when you're in Snapseed, if you're familiar with the app, you know that it starts off with the local adjustments on one side, and then it kind of moves all the way down to the more filtery type of stuff on the end. And when I first started using Snapseed, I started using it very similar to the way I use Lightroom, which is basically from the top down. You start with your adjustments, and I always start with cropping, and then I move my way down through Lightroom as a progression, and it kind of works out fairly well for the most part, not always, but for the most part. And I started my Snapseed career kind of the same way, starting from the left and working over to the right. But what I've started doing recently is coming in from the other side and doing some of the more filtery type of adjustments to it first, and finishing up in the tune image area. And I'll tell you, this is the tip. This is what you've all been waiting for. The reason I do that is because it's kind of like adding layers in Photoshop at the end, like a photo filter or something like that. It kind of brings everything together at the end. It kind of seals the deal at the end. So if you've added a center focus filter, if you've done some black and white work, if you've done the drama filter or a grunge thing or any of these kinds of things, and then you come back and finish in the tune image section after, you're going to adjust the global brightness, you're going to adjust the global contrast, you're going to be adjusting the global temperature, white balance rather, and it's going to be making adjustments to all of the things that you've already done, thereby kind of bringing everything together, basically putting everything into the same package, so you don't get any kind of odd looking thing. Sometimes if you put the center focus filter on afterwards, it kind of looks odd, or same thing with the grunge filter. So even if you've already done some of the tune image stuff to kind of bring it up, if you go back there at the end it kind of puts it into a nice package. And so I'm going to finish up this tip by saying, so I did all my black and white work and everything like that. I finished up in the tune and image section with the white balance. And I just added, I don't know, maybe a level of 7 to 10 in the white balance area to kind of warm it up. And what I ended up with was a really nice, subtle kind of, almost like a sepia-ish kind of tone, except very, 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 very mild. And it just kind of ties everything in, and it's really nice. So
it was a really great photo.
That's the end of my short tip, is just finish up in the tune image to wrap up your package.
Kind of piggybacking on yours, when I was doing, there was one photo in particular that I'll share in the show notes. I was doing a little housework over the weekend, and we had a bird nest that was clogging our dryer vent, and the bird hasn't been there for a while. It didn't pay its lease or anything like that, so we had to pull the stuff out. We pulled out the massive bird nest that was in there, and it left its eggs in there, and so I took a few shots of that. They're kind of dull. I mean, it's a bird nest. There isn't really much color to it unless you're looking at the dryer lint. But when I brought it into Snapseed, I was getting it prepped for a painting, and this is one of the few times and it never really occurred to me to do this before, but to kind of go into the filters and piggyback on top of them, I would start with the drama filter, and then bump up the saturation, and then I would tune the image. And then after I finished all my editing, I would then go back to the drama filter and add one more. So going back and revisiting the other filters, I think, is pretty important. I guess we have that mental block where we've already used it, so we can't use it again. It is quite a linear mentality that we go through, but I guess we can unlearn stuff and just kind of, you know, metaphorically break the rules. And
yeah, definitely. I mean, if what you're getting at is like stacking filters, like getting into Snapseed and you say you sharpen it once, and there's no reason you can't go right back into it. Save it out and go right back into it and sharpen it again. Save it out and go right back in and sharpen it again. And you can stack them up. It'll start to look like crap, and it'll get, you know, a butt ton of artifacts if you're doing the sharpen filter. But I mean, these are things that you can do, obviously, kind of thinking outside of the box and moving in towards more of a...
Well, and another thing, too, people shouldn't be afraid to use more than one app on the same photo.
Absolutely.
So, right. You know, you could achieve all kinds of really unique looks by maybe doing a certain style in Snapseed and then moving it to another app like PicFX or something like that and playing with some of the filters there on top of that.
That's a great point, actually. I'm gonna share a tip from a friend of the show, Doc Popular from Sincerely and Postagram. And just the other day, I was watching a video of his on YouTube where he shares a tip about using the clarity filter in Camera Plus. And Camera Plus has a bunch of their filters that are scalable. You can adjust the opacity of the actual effect on the image, but the clarity filter within Camera Plus, you cannot do that. So he came up with a really good tip where you go into Camera Plus and you do your adjustments and essentially including the clarity filter, and then you save it out. And now you go back into Camera Plus and you just click the undo button. So basically this brings you back into that image, and you can take it back to its original state and save it out again. And so now you have a version of it that either has different effects or no effects or less effects or something like that. And then you take both images, install them into Image Blender, and basically what you can now do is fade the effect of the clarity, the Camera Plus clarity filter. You can now fade in and out the effect and basically adjusting the opacity of it. Does that make sense?
So perfectly.
Yeah, it's great. I didn't have Image Blender prior to this, and I went out and picked it up because of that tip. And it's got a whole bunch of other really cool features, that unique functions or unique applications rather, that you can take your images through. So if you don't have Image Blender, it's worth it. I think it's $1.99. Let me close this up with a very, very, very fresh tip. that I just came across and that you may or may not know about. First of all, Instagram got a an update yesterday. Version 2.5 we are now on. If you didn't get the upgrade, go ahead and grab it. It technically takes away the popular tab, but it's still the popular tab with a new name. Basically, the popular tab has now become the launch pad for what they are calling the Explore feature. So instead of having to, you know, the weird path that you had to take to get to search, you now get there through the Explore tab. So that's cool. But the
app is really fast.
Yeah, it's actually really fast. And there's actually something that's even way cooler. And you're both going to be, as soon as I say this, you're both going to be like, oh my God, that's so awesome. So for me personally, I don't take pictures in Instagram. I take my pictures somewhere else, whether it's Camera Plus, Camera Awesome, Native Camera app, whatever. I take my pictures somewhere else. They end up in my camera roll. I do my editing elsewhere. I very, very rarely use the Instagram filters. I'm usually doing my editing somewhere else. Then I go into Instagram, I hit the camera, and then I have to wait for the camera to load, and then I hit the little thing on the bottom left that takes me into my camera roll or other galleries where I can select the picture that I want to add, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Instagram, wait for it, push and hold the camera button. Takes you directly to the camera roll. No more.
Shut up.
Yeah. Awesome, huh? No more having to wait for the camera and then having to wait for the camera roll to load. Push and hold the camera, takes you directly to the camera roll. Kick butt tip right there.
That is actually pretty wild. Too bad it doesn't take you to the other area.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't back out of that and get to one of the other places that you have pictures in. But if the picture is in the camera roll, it's right there, and it's sure as heck a hell of a lot faster than the old way.
That is actually pretty cool.
If your pictures are still in one of the other folders, then you're still gonna have to go the old way. But if it's in the camera roll, which is where they are for me usually anyway.
Nice. That is awesome.
All right, guys. Any more tips? No.
Nope.
Let's move into what I would like to move into, which sadly, because I was at the Bieber concert last week, we missed out on last week. I want to award the iPhone Shutter Grip.
Awesome. I can't wait to see who wins it. Is it me? No? Okay, I'm hanging up.
It was you, but I'm sorry. No.
You were mean last week, Mark, so you forfeited.
What I did was I took all the folks that that sent us in postergrams, and I took all of the folks that were friends of ours on Facebook, or our fans rather of the show on Facebook. I added them to a list. I went to, I don't know, random whatever it is, .com or whatever, typed in the number, and my original rule was if somebody came up that wasn't eligible, I would ditch them. Nobody that was ineligible came up. For instance, me or Mark or my wife. No, nobody showed up that was ineligible. Who did come up, though, is a guy named Eric Sutton. Eric Sutton, you are the proud owner of a iPhone Shutter Grip. I know you're like jumping up and down right now. He's like the fan on Kiss 108 that just got tickets to Justin Bieber. He's going crazy right now. I will send you a private message as soon as I get off the show, or possibly tomorrow morning when I remember, and get your info, and I will ship this thing out to you. And before you get too excited, read my review.
Very cool. So next week, I want to add that we are going to announce our second contest, and we'll just leave it as suspense.
It's going to is that going to be next week or the week after?
We will announce it next week.
Okay.
And then we'll have the official rules. And awesome. Then we will carry forth with.
You're killing me. I want to know.
You can find out after. So real quick, while we're still on the subject, I want to I didn't get a chance to in the last two episodes. I want to mention a couple of people who have sent us in postergrams. If you'd like to send in a postergram, if you don't have the postergram app yet, go to the postergram place, download or go to the App Store, download the app, go to tinyshutter.com or go to postergramapp.com/tinyshutter, and you get like 5 free postergrams from Tiny Shutter or from Postergram in the name of Tiny Shutter, and send us one because we love getting them. So I got one here. Hi, Keith and Mark Hi, Keith, Mark, and Matt. Shot this buildingscape with Pro HDR, tweaked it in Snapseed, and then Tiny Planet Photos for the world effect. Love the show. Keep it up. Dan from the UK. And it's a really cool picture. There's actually a hot air balloon up in the sky. And it's one of these neat apps that turns everything into like a circle, so it looks like you've shot it with one of these crazy, like super fisheye lens kind of thing or something.
Yeah.
All right.
I love those.
We also got two postagrams from Doc Popular. So this is his second appearance in the show because I mentioned him in the with one of my tips earlier. But he got a really cool one of a cute little couple on a scooter. In San Francisco, and another one of some earplugs with the little twisty cord going from a gray sidewalk to a red sidewalk. It's really kind of a neat little shapes inspired picture. And one more I got here from Fernando, and Fernando has sent me a picture. Here's a behind the scenes shot of my latest short film. Thank you for the Tiny Shutter podcast. So keep it up, guys. You're doing a great job. It's a picture of his DSLR laying on the floor, getting a low angle shot of some gentleman walking into a building. And it gives us a view of the DSLR and the scene, but also the LCD on the back of the DSLR. So it's pretty cool.
Nice. Short film. That's awesome. Congrats, man.
Very awesome. So thanks, everybody, for the postagrams. Keep them coming. We always love getting them. I'm in the process of trying to figure out what we're going to build with them, possibly a page on the site or something interesting like that. also, Instagram, hashtag Tiny Shutter, same kind of thing. Add the hashtag Tiny Shutter to your Instagram photos, and same thing with those. I'm going to try and incorporate those as well as the postagram photos into something else. And in case you didn't know, I'm not positive that we still have promo codes left, but if you try it out, tinyshutter.com, there's a link over to Postagram, or you can go to postagramapp.com/tinyshutter, and when you get the opportunity to enter the promo code is Tiny Shutter. And occasionally they'll, I actually just got an email from Postagram today. They're offering up a couple more freebies just because that's what they do occasionally to keep everybody interested.
Very cool.
Yep.
And I just wanted to mention now that we just finished recording for Lens Wipe. And now that it is off the air, we have Instagram Fridays that are going to be on the Tiny Shutter website. So keep those things coming and we will feature them.
Anybody want to start off with a focus point for the week?
My focus point for this week is a little app called ActionShot. If you've ever seen any sort of skateboarding photos where you have the skateboarder kind of in each frame doing a jump or a trick, and it's all within the same picture, you're basically making that kind of photo. And it's really easy to do.
Like a sequence shot?
A sequence shot. Thank you very much. And this app just makes it incredibly easy. What it will do is you take a picture of the event, take the shots, and all you have to do is just color in the spot where you want frozen in time, and it will stitch the photos together into one nice, neat sequence. And it's fun.
That sounds awesome.
Hey, Matt, what do you got for a focus point this week?
Mine is video related. So if you guys have been on the internet for more than like 2 seconds, you've probably heard of this app called Viddy. And it bills itself as kind of the Instagram of video. So basically you can post 15 second videos, and it's a pretty social type of app, kind of like Instagram. It allows you to tag your friends in videos. You could like videos and comment on videos and share the videos to all the other social media outlets like Facebook and Twitter. And it has a pretty cool camera feature. It enables you to select the focus point, the exposure, adjust the white balance, and it allows you to tweak the audio, which is pretty cool. And then it comes with a few visual effects, kind of like filters and music and transitions. And then you could also do in-app purchases and get other like filter packs and stuff like that. It's a fun little app if you like shooting videos. It's just a Instagram type thing for video. And it's free.
Even better.
All right. My focus point for this week is going to be www.facebook.com/tinyshutter. I'm not positive, but I do believe that the next contest is going to be fairly epic. And I'm not positive, but I'm fairly sure that it's going to have something to do with you being a fan on Facebook. And regardless, you should be a fan on Facebook, because the folks on Facebook that are fans found out about a cool app earlier this week called GroupShot, which allows you to take multiple pictures, take the scary heads out of one, put them into the other, and stuff like that. And according to Joseph in the focus group, it's a kick butt app. I haven't got a chance to use it yet, but I did get it when it was free, and I got it when it was free, well, because I posted it on Facebook, but I would have found out on it. I would have found out by being a fan of Tiny Shutter on Facebook. So head over there, Tiny Shutter, or facebook.com/tinyshutter. And also, again, make sure you're tagging your Instagram pictures with a hashtag Tiny Shutter. All right, folks, so we're going to bring the show to an end, and I want to thank you again for tuning in. I also want to thank the focus group for hanging in there with us. And if you haven't found out yet, you can head over to facebook.com/tinyshutter. We will be announcing where and when the Tiny Shutter goes live. But generally speaking, it is on Tuesday evenings around the 9:30-ish kind of range. And tinyshutter.com/thefocusgroup if you want to join in on the fun. And thanks, guys, for tuning in again. And we'll see you next week. Have a great week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Is it over?
It's over. We're done.
We got scooters!
I like milk and cookies.
Well done. Just basically rub the part where you want to. Oh, man. Thank God.
You're rubbing what?
Yeah, we're still talking about an app, right?
Yeah.
Rub the part where you want it to feel good.
I would call him George. I am not programmed to love.
The lack of prep work is starting to reveal itself. Darp. Darp.
Darp.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.